I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Columbus Crew have granted permission for Celtic to speak to Wilfred Nancy as their number one managerial target. It's just over 24 hours to go until Scotland's crucial World Cup qualifier against Greece. So who should Steve Clark start in that game? And will he call him back? Nick Walsh's decision to book Austin Trusty for his challenge on Jack Butland. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
From Columbus Crew to Steve Clark's crew. To that crew at the SFA with Butland and Trusty. Andrew, we always say a lot to get through tonight. Now, that's not a cliche, that's a statement of fact.
Yeah, there's been so much talk about Wilfred Nancy over the past week or so, Scott, but the breaking news in the last few minutes really is that Columbus Crew have granted Celtic permission to speak to him, so it looks as if that really could be a goer and could potentially be on before Celtic's next game.
Yeah, you would like to think so. I think the fact that it's also now out in the press, I think it would be at advanced stages. Celtic, listen, it is a bit of a risk, but Celtic have took that risk before with Ange Postecoglou, and it worked, so I'd be very intrigued to see what his kind of style would look like at this in this Celtic team and on to Scotland.
Huge
couple of games coming up.
Scott, if he gets here in time, not just for St Mirren in the league, but St Mirren in the cup final, that will mean that Celtic have had one manager for the quarterfinals, another manager for the semi-finals, and a third manager for the final itself. Unbelievable.
And we like our domestic football. We want our calls on domestic football, but what a massive, massive match it is for Scotland tomorrow. It is, in itself, probably one of the biggest in a generation because of what it could mean for next Tuesday.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm going to ask you, Scott, as a former player now, if you're one of the Greek players tomorrow, how much are you really into it, bearing in mind that you cannot get there? If you beat Scotland 10-0, you're still not going anywhere. How much of your body and soul are you putting into this tomorrow? If you were Gordon Dale, you wouldn't even put your boots on.
I think as a player, you always have that duty where you want to go out and play football and be the best version of yourself. No getting away from it though. When there is something at stake, which it is for Scotland, you can sometimes drag yourselves through it. I think Scotland have so much to gain from tomorrow night. At the same time, I still think the fact that Greece can't go through, I think they're still dangerous. I think they've shown that they have threats, especially caused us problems at Hampden. I think we had 33% at Hampden and still managed to get 3 goals. It just shows that sometimes it's not always about having the ball. So by hook or crook, let's just get through tomorrow night.
If we can't get there, we'll make sure you don't get there either. Is that the philosophy?
Yeah, sometimes, but I don't think at that level players are going to get that deep. I just think players go out international football and they want to do well for themselves because they want more caps.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. As I mentioned there, the big breaking news: Columbus Crew have granted Celtic permission to speak to Wilfred Nancy about being their next manager. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Is that good news for you? Is it not so good news for you? Were you hoping that Martin O'Neill was maybe going to stay in charge for a bit longer? Was there another candidate you wanted instead? Or do you want to focus on Wilfred Nancy and what he could bring to Celtic? 0141 951 1025. As I mentioned, a huge match for Scotland tomorrow night. So some simple questions: who should Steve Clark start? Are you feeling confident? How should Steve Clark approach the game, knowing that a draw is enough to set up that decider with Denmark on Tuesday night? 0141 951 1025. And it was really kind of Gordon Duncan to do his VAR review show with Willie Collum, create some controversy, and then not even turn up and leave us to pick up the pieces, Hugh.
I will have a word with him the next time I see him. It's the never-ending controversy of Butland and Trusty. I think some people will be heartily sick of it. But final confirmation that this is approved of by officialdom. The yellow card, not the red card. I have a view, Andrew, that we in Scotland now have two games. One that is seen through the eyes of players, fans, managers, and another one that is seen through the eye of match officials, VAR, and Willie Collum. And this is a classic example of what I'm talking about, because I can't think of too many people who did not think that was a red card offence. But the people who execute the laws of our game say, no, it's not, it's a yellow card.
We certainly got a few on the phones that didn't think it was either.
Fans are always tremendously biased, and that nothing wrong with that. But people like ourselves who are neutral observers of the game, everyone in the studio that day said red card. And everyone who was at Hampden said red card. But in the eyes of those who execute the laws of the game, yellow card.
Right, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Whether it is Wilfred Nancy, whether it's Scotland, whether it is VAR, you can call in now. And if you needed any more motivation to call in, just listen to this, because whoever comes on tonight and makes a point on air goes into the draw to win a Pi Sports package for Tuesday's Scotland game. You can enjoy Scotland against Denmark if you can't get to Hampden with four traditional Scotch pies, four kebab pies, which is winner of football pie of the year, four macaroni pies, and six Danish pastries, plus a Pi Sports mug as well.
We shall go to there.
Macaroni.
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
One thing I will say is that George Bowie arrived in the office not long before we came on air, said he'd made dinner, forgot to bring it with him, and then was having to have one of the kebab pies that was sitting in the fridge for his dinner. So I'm sure he was enjoying that. So it's going to be a good review from George Bowie.
My greatest moment on George Bowie's breakfast show was Charlene Spiteri eating a roll and totty scone.
Texas?
Charlene Spiteri, with a roll and totty scone.
Right, 0141 951 1025. Let's take a closer look at that breaking news first, shall we? Wilfred Nancy reports that Columbus Crew have given Celtic permission to speak to Wilfred Nancy about becoming their next manager. It's understood advanced talks will take place over the weekend. He could be in charge for the game against St Mirren, all going well after the international break. Certainly not a name, Scott, that I think many Celtic fans would have been aware of. So I think straight away that then throws up the questions of, you know, how big a risk is it to bring in someone that's maybe only managed in MLS?
Yeah, I think it does come with risk. Obviously, it doesn't have European football experience, never mind how hostile it can be in this city. At the same time, we only need to look as far as Ange Postecoglou, who was coming in as an unknown and left with the Celtic fans loving how he played football and very successful. So I think because they've been through that before, I think they'll give him time. He's won trophies in America, plays an attacking style of football, likes to be possession based, which would be all the kind of things you would expect of a manager coming into Celtic. So I'm really intrigued to see how this is going to play out. I think there's no question that the quality of player isn't as high as it has been over the last few years. So to see what he does from now to January, and then if Celtic are going to back him to go and get these signings in, as obviously that's a thing that we spoke about in the summer about not being backed. So there's a lot of ifs and buts, but I think first and foremost Celtic just need to get the manager in the door and see how he shapes up.
It's natural that everyone goes back to Ange, who came via Australia and Asia. However, when Ange Postecoglou came in, expectations were not high, because Steven Gerrard had won the title for Rangers, and Ange was the one that Celtic got by default because Eddie Howe belatedly turned down the job. This man, Wilfred Nancy, is coming in to replace someone who has won 11 of the last 13 domestic trophies in this country. Brendan Rodgers is a hard act to follow.
0141 951 1025. Robbie is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Up first, Robbie, are you happy or unhappy at the news that Wilfred Nancy has permission to speak to Celtic?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Kieran. Good evening, Scott. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Good, thank you.
Aye, Andrew, I'm going to be quite balanced in answering that with the question you asked me there. I've no got a clue how this guy is going to do, right? I'm just going to wait to see how he does. Like, if it's a, you know, all the previous Celtic managers, there's people calling in to this radio show all this week in their own opinion. There was actually a guy on yesterday about Wilfred Nancy saying he never had enough experience European football. He's only been a manager for 4 years. That's all right. But we can go round in circles with all this. There's been... You can go back to Graeme Souness, right? He came in... He was only about 33-year-old when he took the Rangers manager's job. Hadn't he played for Rangers. Hadn't he... no managerial experience. And he done well for the 5 years he was at Rangers apart from Celtic centenary season. You can go round in circles with all this stuff about guys who have never... They've not been in British football. They've not done this. They've not done that. Guys that are... There's guys that go into managerial jobs with hundreds of experience, lots of experience, won trophies, and they go into a manager's job and they fail. And it can be the exact other way about. So see, at the end of the day, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to wait to see how the guy does. But what I'm a wee bit alarmed with is that he said that he's all about entertaining first and results second. Well, that's not going to be any good to us in this title running coming into January, February, March when you know we really need to be going for results first. So that was it has got a wee bit of Ange in him, because if you mind, Ange did say that performance first and the results will then just fall into place once you go with the performance levels first. Like, you know, personally, here's what I would have went with, and I ken that folk are going to laugh at this guy I'm going to come out with. Again, it's not a guarantee that he would have worked out, but I would have went with Jim Goodwin. Honestly, every day of the week, some folk are saying about Stephen Robinson. Now, if you look at Jim Goodwin's managerial record, he's done really, really well, absolutely brilliant, apart from the failure at Aberdeen. And another thing is he's got this young guy that's working with him at Dundee United called Ross Goodwin. I don't think he's a relation. He's a young guy. He's not even 30-year-old. And you wait to listen to him, what he's talking about with head of recruitment, with data, scouring all the different countries. And I just want to finish with this. See, Hearts, they're getting a lot of plaudits for their recruitment. But I'll tell you one thing. See, if you look at Dundee United, with the players that they've brought in for the money, they're doing great. And that boy, Jim Goodwin,
Robbie,
the young boy, Ross Goodwin, that's where I would have went with, but no guarantee that he would have worked there.
Robbie, with the greatest respect to Jim Goodwin, a man I like very much indeed, you could never, ever have sold Jim Goodwin to the Celtic support as the manager to replace Brendan Rodgers. Simply not feasible. With regard to Graeme Souness, when he came into Rangers, Celtic were in the midst of turmoil. Graeme Souness started off 9 in a row. Walter Smith finished it. So the circumstances are entirely different. And what adds to the pressure on Wilfried Nancy is that he comes in, if he's here a week tomorrow for the St Mirren game in Paisley, he has St Mirren away, Feyenoord away, Hibs away, a cup final to play. He has an opening spell to his Celtic career that is demanding in the extreme. What we don't know is how well equipped he is to meet that demanding sequence of matches.
When Robbie talks about, you know, Wilfried Nancy, whether it is his attitude that, you know, performance first and then results second, I do think that sometimes is the way of the modern manager. It's not a case of they would take, you know, losing several games in a row as long as they like the performance. But is it more about finding the style and putting their, you know, implementing their style, and then at the end of that process, the good results will come? But then that becomes quite tough in an environment like Celtic, where you're expected to win on day one.
Yeah, but I think you said entertaining comes first, doesn't it? But sometimes with a certain caliber of player, if a manager comes in, it's like a breath of fresh air, and he's giving you freedom to go and be very creative in the final third. Sometimes that can bring results automatically, just for the lift it gives the forward-thinking player. So it's, I think we'll just have to wait and see. Especially you look at that fixture list that Hughes rhymed off there. They're not easy games by any stretch of the imagination, never mind when Celtic are playing well. So we just need to wait and see. I think that for me, I quite like that mantra that you come in, you want to entertain, and that brings results. I think a club like Celtic, you have to have performance and results. I think that's the kind of way the club is built on, and has been over the last few seasons.
The other problem Wilfried Nancy will have, of course, is that there's a treatment room full of top class players. Jota, Ali Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Kelechi Iheanacho, Marcelo Cerracci, all who would be in the team. Even young Callum Osmond, who had scored a goal against Rangers and won the cup semi-final for Celtic, you know, he starts with every disadvantage, which adds to the test of him.
£5 million wingers in that squad, though, Hugh.
Yeah, one of them would never be a Celtic player if he lives till he's 100. So the purchase of players has been a bone of contention for the Celtic fans. He will come in here, and he, I am quite certain, will believe in himself. And he'll need to, because he starts off with several disadvantages.
Well, thank you to Robbie. What about Brian and Stirling? Are you sold or not sold on Wilfred Nancy?
Well, good evening, guys. If the man gets the job, it's because the men who give the job have done their job. He obviously ticks a lot of boxes. We're an age appropriate fan base, myself and my friends. We've got my mate Tommy's young son Sean. He's one of these guys that really goes into the, you know, the nitty gritty of things, and he's really quite excited about Wilfred Nancy, something that we don't know nothing about. But we can go back to, you know, if we've got a comparative, go back to Ange. Nobody knew nothing about him. I remember Alan Brazil, is Ange, what, who, or this is a joke. So I think we've got to use perspective. The guy's obviously got something because he's turned Columbus Crew from a pretty much a non-entity into probably one of the first football teams in America, where he's got them in cup finals, and he's playing the kind of football that Celtic are synonymous with, and latterly Brendan Rodgers wasn't synonymous with. And it's a great respect to Brendan Rodgers, in his two tenures he's really done a lot. But when we want, as fans, we want entertainment, we want the kind of football that this guy is seeming to be purporting from abroad, and we don't know nothing about him. Nobody knows anything that, well, obviously the young guys who have been looking and watching the football from Columbus Crew. But the whole thing is, we need perspective in Scotland. If we have go out there, what it really does for us is, similar to Ange, it opens up another market, opens up another possibility. Now, we've got 8 weeks before we have an ability to buy any players. And buying any players, we need players in January. If we're going to beat the champions elect, Hugh, come on, to the league, you know. If we win our game, it's 24, no, the 12 that you're talking about. But it comes down to this. If this man is the right man and he wins the league, then the guys on the board have done the right thing. But they need to release the funds. January and in the summer, they need to give him the right amount of money. And that is no disrespect to any of the players that have been bought by Brendan Rodgers. What I'm saying is, the kind of football he wants to play, that, you know, fast, hard-attacking, possession-based football, is really what we want to see, because it is an entertainment sport. And you can understand why Brendan Rodgers isn't there anymore and why we are looking for that guy. I hope, and I've said this on the show before, I hope that they can find some sort of position to keep Martin O'Neill, because he is a motivator. You can see that. That's the reason why.
Does that seem unlikely, do you think, Hugh, that Martin O'Neill would be part of, you know, either part of a coaching staff or be kept around the club when a new manager comes
in? Martin O'Neill would have too much self-respect to be given a pat on the head and a job that didn't really exist. He would have to feel that he was truly responsible for moving Celtic forward. I don't think they have Paul Tisdale, who is the head of football operations. Wilfred Nancy will bring in his own people to look after first team matters. So I don't think Martin
O'Neill... He may or may not, because we've seen previously with Celtic that often it is the coaches that stay in place and it's just the manager that changes.
Well, things have changed. I mean,
Sean Maloney will stay.
He already has a job within the club.
And with Mark Fotheringham being brought in,
I would like to see it
would be strange if he was only brought in for an interim period as coach, wouldn't it?
I agree.
I'd like to see Mark Fotheringham retained, and Sean will be retained. But there's no doubt that Wilfried Nancy will bring in his own people from America.
Do you think that'll definitely happen though? Because it's not, it doesn't seem to always be the case with Celtic.
He'll bring in his number two, because his number two is a pal of Paul Tisdale and has clearly featured heavily in discussions.
And John Kennedy was a big influence at Celtic and has left, so...
And he represented continuity. Yeah. The fans always picked on John Kennedy. Oh, he's still there no matter who leaves. John Kennedy represented continuity and success. And just before you go, Brian, come on, Brian. Hearts are ahead of Celtic and Rangers, and they're at Celtic Park in December. Be a little careful what you say about Hearts before they've played Celtic.
Hugh did also backtrack on his Champions Elect thing on Sunday after Hearts drop.
No, I was having a joke. I said by the end of the programme I'll be calling for Derek McInnes' resignation.
We are running late for the travel, so we will thank Brian and we will get more of your calls next.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots to get into as well. The breaking news tonight is that Columbus Crew have granted Celtic permission to speak to Wilfried Nancy. Advanced talks are expected to take place over the weekend, could potentially be in place for the St Mirren game after the international break. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? Is that good news or bad news? 0141 951 1025. I want to hear from you Scotland fans. I know there is many of you out there who will be feeling nervous ahead of tomorrow night. All we need is a win or a draw, and it sets up a winner takes all clash against Denmark at Hampden on Tuesday. Scott Allen can't handle the pressure already, and it is more than 24 hours ahead of that game. So I want to know, who should Steve Clarke start? How are you feeling about the game? How does Steve Clarke approach this one? Who should start in goal as well? I'm interested. I know there was a bit of chat on that last night, but still want to hear your thoughts on that. I'll get the guys' thoughts on that a bit later on. 0141 951 1025. We'll look at some of what Willie Collum has said in the VAR review show as well. I'm sure some of you want to speak about that as well. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Brandon, who is a Celtic fan in Dumbarton. Brandon, how are you feeling about Wilfried Nancy? What camp are you in?
I'm wanting a different manager, if I'm being honest.
Why is that?
I feel as if going from the MLS to the SPFL, it's as if the Celtic board's going for the cheaper option.
But then would people have said that when it was Ange Postecoglou going from the J-League to the Scottish Premiership?
I would prefer to have Ange back or Martin O'Neill to the end of the season rather than having this manager in.
Well, statistically speaking, it's not the cheap option, because they'll be required to pay Columbus Crew millions of pounds.
I think the talk is somewhere between £1 and £2 million would be the compensation.
Which is £1 or £2 million more than they paid for Ange Postecoglou. So I do understand that Brandon and others will say this is a shot in the dark. But he has the faith of the Celtic hierarchy, who have approached Columbus Crew for permission to speak to him. We now have to see if getting permission to speak to him and getting him to take the job are one and the same thing, because I'll say four words: Steven Gerrard, Kevin Muscat. But Ange Postecoglou always will have the affection of the Celtic fans, but he clearly was not on the radar or had informed Celtic that now was not the time. Otherwise, Ange Postecoglou would be sitting at Lennox Town just now preparing for St Mirren a week tomorrow. So the man is Wilfried Nancy. It is up to Celtic's hierarchy to get the man
over to Scotland.
So, Brandon, do you not really feel there is a viable candidate at the moment? If we're taking Ange Postecoglou out of it, as Hugh said, if it's not happened by now, it's probably not going to happen, considering the fact he's, you know, currently unemployed. You've said Martin O'Neill to the end of the season as your other option. Does that mean that there isn't really another manager out there that ticks the boxes for you?
No, if I'm being completely honest.
So what is it you're looking for?
A manager that can stay till at least the end of the season, like Martin O'Neill, that has proved that
So what happens at the end of the season then, Brandon? Is it just hoping that someone else comes up?
If he's doing well, I would offer him a contract for 2 years, 3 years, if he's up for it.
I think Martin O'Neill did speak today and essentially said that he would, I think it was on a radio station essentially, and he said that if Celtic decide on a manager in the next few days, he is more than happy to step aside. Yeah. He sort of emphasised the short-termism of it. It seems as if Martin O'Neill isn't in it for the long haul.
No. Martin was essentially there to hold the fort, which he did, and took Celtic into a cup final. Now, if Wilfried Nancy is able to come over to Scotland next week, he can begin planning the immediate future for Celtic. If there's any impediment to Wilfried Nancy coming here next week, Martin O'Neill, I am sure, will step in again and hold the fort. But even to take Martin until the end of the season was, for me, holding the club back, because they have to have a January transfer window that is meaningful. They apologised for the transfer window during the summer. It was so bad. They have to have a meaningful transfer window in January, and that has to be conducted by the man who's going to be responsible for the team for the remainder of this season and beyond. So Martin will always have the affection of the fans, but for Brandon to say, keep him for another 2 or 3 years, with respect, Brandon, he's 73 years old. I get to sit here in my 70s because it's nice and warm. I don't have to stand at Tannadice in the rain in December or wherever you go. Martin O'Neill had started to speak about the physical demands of being a full-time manager at his age, and therefore a 2 or 3 year stay at Celtic was never feasible.
If Celtic, it looks as if Celtic have now identified their number one target, how important do you feel it is that Celtic now try and accelerate this as quickly as possible when there is such a tough game coming up, when Celtic are in the position behind Hearts where they are in the league? How more beneficial is it for Celtic that they try and get this done early next week if possible?
Yeah, well, it seems that that's what they're doing. I think they're obviously taking an international break to try and get things moving quickly, as we're obviously hearing today. So you would expect, if it was to, they've now been given permission, you would expect that to move quite quickly. I think the interesting thing for me in terms of how Celtic's structure is and how they do their transfer business and the model that they have at the club, they're getting a guy from MLS. MLS managers throughout the league work under a general manager who brings players in. I'd be very surprised if he was the sort of manager, based on how MLS works, that handpicks players to come and play for his club. So it's very interesting that aspect of it for me.
Brandon, is it just the fact of the league he's coming from that you're unsure? Is there anything else you've seen or heard that makes you unsure?
I've watched it quite a few times, and the games that I have watched of Columbus Crew, they've always been on the losing side. So why would...
Well, he's done a pretty success, just because you've watched games that they've... Manager of the year last year. He's had success there. You might not have watched those games, Brandon, but certainly his time at the club is deemed to have been a success. He's been coach of the year, won the MLS Cup, didn't he, as well? Does that not do it for you, Brandon, though?
It's one of those things that we could judge him just now, but I think it's more important to judge him as soon as he's in the role, because that's the way I'm going to look at it now if he is the manager.
Credibility works two ways. Brandon reserves the right to say the MLS, nah, not the breeding ground for a future Celtic manager. Or credibility can be reserved until the man gets here. We see the style of play, we see how successful the style of play is. And then, like Ange, credibility comes very, very quickly.
The difference again, Ange Postecoglou came with Kyogo, Hatate and Maeda. And what a difference they made to Celtic. I don't think, with the best will in the world, that Wilfried Nancy can come with three players from the MLS, whether it's Columbus Crew or anybody else, who would have that kind of impact on Celtic. He's going to have to learn, and learn fast, about what's best for this country.
Well, thank you to Brandon. Kevin is a Celtic fan in Castlemilk. Kevin, does Wilfried Nancy get your approval?
Hi guys, how you doing? It was just, I think Wilfried Nancy, to be honest, you can't judge him yet. And I heard Hugh just speaking there and says, look, Ange came here with three guys for the J-League or wherever they came, and he thought, look, Nancy can't pick them out. There's nothing to say, can he? And we'll go to see, give the guy a chance. If this guy's going to be the manager, there's nothing to say. He's, why not? And they might open a new door into the American leagues. Doesn't have to be the USA League, it could be the Canadian League or whatever else, run about that neck of the woods. And why not? Go give him a chance. No reason why not. And there's also been, I said to your producer, there's been great managers who haven't had much experience of managing clubs. Like, say, Jose Mourinho, for instance, didn't manage a club, didn't really play professional football before he got a job, and the guy done all right.
He was around Bobby Robson at Barcelona, though, at the same time, so he'd seen the kind of expectations of a big club.
That's true, that is true, and I think the nonsense, but I think he worked with Henri, who, what, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he had a great managerial time, but he also was at big clubs like, say, Barcelona and Arsenal, so he, but again, he's got to give the guy a chance, and why not?
Yeah, all of us are speculating what the appointment might look like or turn out, but you're correct, only one thing determines whether you're a success or a failure, and that's results on the park. So, as I say, right away, if he's here next week, right away, he has to win in Paisley. Europe is a trial for Celtic this season because they're just not what they should be at that level. Feyenoord will be an ordeal for Celtic. But then it's Hibs away. That's another ordeal. And then it's a cup final. And Celtic have already lost a cup final this year to Aberdeen. They cannot afford to lose another cup final against St Mirren.
Kevin, what is it that sort of gives you the faith or the patience with this appointment? Is it the fact, you know, people have obviously talked about Ange Postecoglou coming in. Does that give you faith that he was someone that Celtic fans didn't know much about at all? You know, you can't pin everything on that, but that period of time, does that give you a bit of belief that you're happy to just wait and see what happens?
I can see people will draw parallels between Ange, because it's a league we don't know, and the MLS is a league we don't really know. But in fairness, over the last, I don't know, what, 3-4 months in Europe, Scottish teams have done nothing to say that our league is any better than the MLS or the J-League. So I don't think we should be throwing stones at other leagues, considering what our teams are doing. And as far as it goes with Ange, I don't think there's really a comparison with Ange. The only reason we're comparing Ange to him is because we don't know about the league and we don't know about the person. That's really it. So I don't see that comparison with Ange. Do I think the guy's got a chance of big success? Of course I do. And I think, as Hugh just said, there's going to be an ordeal against Feyenoord. I agree. An ordeal against Hibs, I don't agree. Because it's Hibs and that's just bread and butter for Celtic. And I know we've not been doing it all the time, but that will be the case. And as far as the cup final goes against St Mirren, Celtic will get a massive favourite. She'll hopefully say that day that St Mirren should win. And then we know it's a home banker. But
it's not at home, it's at a neutral ground.
I said it'll be a home banker. If you say St Mirren, usually you're quite wrong in the prediction. So I said it'll be a home banker.
I'm just saying it's at Hampden, that's not your home.
It's a betting reference, you.
Well, thank you to Kevin. Please gamble responsibly, yes, as well, and all that. Right, more of your calls next. 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 0141 951 1025 to get involved. We've had plenty of chat on Wilfred Nancy, with Columbus Crew granting Celtic permission to speak to him about becoming their new manager. So Celtic fans, any further thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. But let's turn our attentions to a massive night tomorrow for Scotland against Greece. Let's speak to John, who is in Johnston. How are you feeling? Have the nerves kicked in yet?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I was saying to the producer that I've took two shifts off to make sure I can watch both games.
Excellent.
I've been an avid Scotland fan for forever, and I can't remember the last time that we have it on our own hands to actually qualify, not having to rely on other results. I was 18 years old when I seen France 98, and I'm now 46, and I can't wait to see if we can qualify.
It is just incredible when you think of the gap, Hugh, and there is a full generation of Scotland fans that have never seen Scotland at a World Cup, never been able to experience it. We saw what the Euros did for the whole country. The first one that obviously took place on home turf, and then Germany last year, was an incredible experience. This would just be the next level, wouldn't it?
One of the advantages of age, to underline John's point, I remember 1973, Joe Jordan, Scotland versus Czechoslovakia at Hampden, one off, win that game and you're there. And Joe Jordan got the winning goal. I remember going to Anfield, Scotland versus Wales, the never-to-be-forgotten penalty that Scotland got, the never-to-be-forgotten Kenny Dalglish-headed goal, and there you were, in the World Cup. So I know what that one-off sensation is like from Hampden Park to Anfield, and there's nothing quite like it. And that's the kind of sensation that the fans will know at Hampden on Tuesday night if we get a draw with or beat Greece. And I fervently hope that we set up that one-off shootout against the Danes, because those, like John, 18 when he went to France for the World Cup finals, they've never known that moment, and this time they can know that moment.
I'm not being too kind here. You won't have any memories of watching France 98 on TV, or do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
9.
All right, okay. Yeah,
it was 9. I remember watching the Brazil game. Morocco, I think, was the last group stage. I always remember thinking Colin Henry was running back in slow motion because I stopped when I was at school. Then obviously Zidane in the final. Yeah, listen, I think let's just get by tomorrow. And can you just imagine if we were to do it on Tuesday? It would be absolutely incredible. I think tomorrow night, a lot of times with Scotland recently, we speak about performance. It's just by any means necessary tomorrow, get a positive result and then sets that tie up for Tuesday. That, if it was to go in our favour, I think it would be genuinely incredible.
How does Steve Clarke approach that tomorrow? The fact that a draw is enough to
some pressure on him
to choose,
some pressure on him tomorrow before we even get to team selection, just in terms of how he's going to set his stall out. I think we have seen Greece. I spoke about it before, the game at Hampden, they dominated the ball, we scored 3 goals, so you do know if you can make them defend at times, there's chances there to be taken. Does he set up the same way he did against Denmark away, where we defended really well? I think that's probably the most likely kind of way he'll set up tomorrow and look to get catch them, whether it's from set pieces or balls getting put into the box from maybe deeper areas. But for me, just get the positive result, and then Tuesday, all into Tuesday, and it'll be amazing.
John, is there anything in particular you think Steve Clarke has to do tomorrow to make sure we get that result we need?
Well, I suppose that's a layered question, with the fact that he's got us to two major finals. So, to be honest, the squad's there. Whatever he's done has been effective. I know the last two performances weren't great, but we get two wins. So we would take another two dubious performances and two wins. Right? But there was a lot of talk about the goalkeeping situation and stuff, but the squad's there. It's got us to the position we are. He's the man in charge. Just let's hope that we can get a result in Greece. A win would be fantastic, but keep us in it and not have the possibility of the playoff, but at least we've got the playoff.
Well, there's always that feeling of predestiny. Was it meant to be? Steve Clark, probably his last campaign as Scotland manager, taking Scotland to two Euro finals.
This is deep for you, Hugh. I like it.
Not
like we are going with it.
But again, we've been waiting since 1998. And, you know, as John has highlighted, we've played some stinking games, but we've got there. And I'm beginning to feel that sense of predestiny that, yeah, he's going to get there. He's going to get a draw at worst in Greece tomorrow. And Hampden's sold out already. And Denmark are not all that they used to be. I just feel it's on.
My problem with that is that I think there was just a collective hands-on-head from everyone around Scotland that Hugh Keevans has predicted.
I was just about to say that.
Has predicted that Scotland are going to do well, and we know what your predictions are like, Hugh. Maybe, you know what, it's your birthday week, Hugh. Maybe there's something
Simon,
in the air.
Simon Dolan's got a bottle of red wine to prove how rotten I am at predictions. However,
They are the two most difficult games in the group. You're putting a realistic spin on it. They are very difficult games.
Players and managers will always tell you, Scott, if you were offered one game at home against Denmark in front of a capacity crowd, you would say, thank you very much, I'll take that.
John, who plays in goal tomorrow night? How important do you feel that is?
Well, I was listening last night when I was out working, and there was a vote going on, 38% for Gordon and 28% for Bain, whatever. See, at the end of the day, whoever goes in will do a job. I know there's question marks about match fitness, or not match fitness, sorry, but match readiness and being sharp. But I think the game's actually going to be won in the outfield, and that's what's going to matter most, and most of our players have been playing. So I really, really hope that we can get a result. But the last thing I will say is, the last camp we had, we won 5 in a row, including beating Spain 2-0. So there's nothing to tell me that we can't do something special.
I like the optimism from John. Do you share his sentiment about the goalkeepers, or do you think there is a standout candidate, Scott?
Again, another tough decision. A lot of pressure on whoever it is that's chosen tomorrow night as well. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about it. You talk about the minutes. It is important, but I think the most natural thing for Steve Clark to do is to play Craig Gordon. Yes, his age is there, but he's the most experienced. He's handled bigger occasions. I think it probably makes most sense to go with Craig Gordon.
Would you go with Scott Bain just based on the fact he's playing? Is that a tough one just based on the fact it's his first call up in 6 years?
Yeah, listen, I think for me, if you're in that decision and you need to get something tomorrow night, you're going with Craig Gordon. He is out the free, he's the best goalkeeper.
It's such an improbable story.
Yeah.
Man close to 43rd birthday on December 31, not played a game of football this season.
He's played bounce games, hasn't he?
Well, but I mean, from bounce game to international game.
Yeah, I understand that in terms of the atmosphere, but it's not as if he's not been saving shots every day at training or having games.
I think he's there on strength of personality, because he's Craig Gordon. And you look at Scott Bain, you look at Liam Kelly, and you think, But as I say, it's a highly improbable story. Someone who's played no football at all to go into a match of this magnitude. However, if anyone can carry it off, it's him.
Just to put his age into context, there are only two players that have played at the World Cup at an older age than Craig Gordon is right now. If we make it to the World Cup and he plays at the World Cup, he'll be the second oldest player to ever play at the World Cup. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Have we got any names?
Essam El Hadary for Egypt against Saudi Arabia. That was 2018, is the oldest player. He was 45 in 161 days.
Goalkeeper?
Yes, he was. Roger Miller, I think, will be the oldest outfield player.
Dancing at the corner flags, yeah, can you see him?
And Craig Gordon is older now than Roger Miller was, and he played at the World Cup in 1994.
As I say, I think it's about, you look at Craig Gordon and you think, right, Wilkie.
Well, put yourself in the shoes of the Scotland players and you turn around, you're defending a corner. You see Craig Gordon, you've got that wee bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hold it anything against Scott Bain. You know, the 6 year gap, okay, Martin O'Neill hadn't coached a football team for 6 years and Celtic brought him back. However, you look at Craig Gordon and there's a sense of belief. I would play Bain personally because he's playing football, but I do understand that you look at Craig Gordon and think, yeah, he'll be fine.
There we go, a bit of Scotland optimism from John, a bit of Scotland optimism from Hugh Keevans as well. Hopefully we can carry that into the second hour of the show and into tomorrow as well. But we've got to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Do you want to be the one to potentially spoil Hugh Keevan's birthday week and try and beat him at Beat the Pundit? Or it could be Scott Allen. You're playing. All you need to do to have your chance to play is ring 01419511025 before 7 o'clock.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour to take your calls, so get them in. 01419511025. We've been hearing your thoughts on Wilfred Nancy, who looks as if he's closing in on being the next Celtic manager. Columbus Crew have granted permission for Celtic to speak to him. Talks expected to take place over the weekend. So Celtic fans, what do you make of that? 01419511025. We will continue to look forward to Greece against Scotland tomorrow. What a massive, massive game. Excited to hear your thoughts on that. 01419511025. We'll look at some of the comments from Willie Collum as well and his VAR review that came out about an hour ago. And any thoughts on that? I'm sure there are plenty. 01419511025. Well, let's play Beat the Pundit first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Hugh, when you were blowing out the 76 candles on your birthday cake the other day,
Blackpool eliminations,
was your wish for a Beat the Pundit win?
Yes, without question.
So there we go. So it's now whoever phones in has no chance. Is that is definitely going
to
happen?
You need to win the coin toss first.
That is true. Exactly. Actually, his wish was probably to lose the coin toss so that he didn't need to play Beat the Pundit.
My wish was to duet.
Plays every other week anyway, don't you?
My wish was to duet with Van Morrison, but that didn't come through. So stuck with you two.
Maybe you'll get the Beat the Pundit win. It's going to be Stuart in Paisley. Stuart, who would you rather play, Scott Allen or Hugh Keevans?
I'm easy, whatever.
Doesn't mind. You'll take either of them.
Hugh for his birthday.
There we go. How are the two of you getting on so far this season? Scott, you are on an 80% win rate. Not bad. 4 wins.
He rarely plays though.
Five games, 4 wins, 1 defeat.
I've played more than 5 times.
Is that right?
Could include the Sundays.
You've played 11 times, 7 wins, 4 defeats.
Oh, that's all right.
But you did get a 10 in there as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
So
mid-table.
That's okay. That's
hanging
okay.
About the place.
Man, right. Top 4.
No, there are quite a few on 100%, but I always say this table is skewed because there's quite a few people that have only played once or twice, so it doesn't really count for them. They need to rack up some appearances before we really... But I mean, Marvin and Jim are the two on 100% that have played quite a few times, and then there are some that have played 2 and 1 that are on 100%. But you're up there. You're above Roger, who's lost twice already this season.
Roger's lost twice.
Despite the fact he's on -1 this season and not -2.
How's Andy doing?
Andy is on 3 wins, 1 defeat.
What about the person phoning in at the start of the week saying Sharon Osbourne?
That he went to school.
Me and Andy were in the same primary school.
Oh, same. So do you know Sharon Osbourne then? No.
No.
You didn't fancy her as well?
No. But well, I'm not sure there was a Sharon Osbourne.
If anyone went to St. Peter's Primary School in Partick with me, phone in.
Oh, please call in. That would be a good conversation. Right, let's get back to business. Stuart, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Hugh Keevans. It will be the red side for Scott Allen. And it is the red side for Scott Allen. So we will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Scott Allen so he cannot hear us. And it will be 30 seconds on the clock for you, Stuart, to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Great.
Let's do it. Who does Celtic play in their next Premiership match?
St Mirren.
Who was the last Scotland manager to manage Scotland at a World Cup?
Craig Brown.
Which SPFL club is closest to Edinburgh Airport?
Hearts.
Who was the last Scotland player to score in the Men's World Cup?
Ali McCoys.
Name one of the two Greek players to have played for Rangers.
Current Greek players?
Any.
Kyriakos.
How many teams have topped the Scottish Championship this season?
Two.
Right, we will bring Scott back in. All good to go?
Yeah, let's go.
There we go. I think you couldn't really hear me for a second there. You were gazing off into the distance.
Just looking at Mark Wilson.
Cardboard cut out of Mark Wilson that just lives in the corner of the studio. Right, 30 seconds for Scott Allen. Let's go. Who did Celtic play in their next Premiership match?
St Mirren.
Who was the last Scotland manager to manage Scotland at the World Cup?
Craig Brown.
Which SPFL club is closest to Edinburgh Airport?
Hearts.
Who was the last Scotland player to score in the Men's World Cup?
John Collins.
Name one of the two Greek players to have played for Rangers.
Any Greek players? Yep. Kyriakos.
How many teams have topped the Scottish Championship this season?
Two.
Josh Doig plays for which Serie A side?
Verona.
Name the stadium Scotland will play in tomorrow night.
The Olympic Stadium.
Right. How do you think that went, Stuart?
Beat me with one.
Don't know. We'll see. We'll go through them. Who do Celtic play next in the Premiership? Easy one that to start off with. We've talked about it on the show. St Mirren is the correct answer. You both got it. One all. Who was the last Scotland manager to manage at Scotland at the World Cup?
Weebrun.
It is indeed. You both got it. Craig Brown, two all. Which SPFL club is closest to Edinburgh Airport? You both said Hearts. Both correct. Three all. Who was the last Scotland player to score in the Men's World Cup?
Craig Burley.
Craig Burley is correct. Neither of you got it. So it remains three all. Name one of the two Greek players to have played for Rangers. I don't know whether it was the wording of the question or the way that I said it. You both asked for clarification, the exact same clarification on that one, which was quite incredible. And then you both went for Kyriakos.
No way.
Yeah, four all. How many teams have topped the Scottish Championship this season?
One.
Just one. St Johnstone. You both said two. So it remains four all. But Scott Allen got two more questions in. Josh Doig plays for which Serie A side?
Ah, Sassuolo.
How have I got that wrong?
It is. It's Sassuolo. So it remains for all. And I thought this was a harsh, harsh question, this one. I have worked at this stadium in this calendar year, and I could not have told you the name of the stadium because it is named after a former Greek politician, I think, something like that. Stadio Georgios Karaiskakis Stadium. No one's getting that under time pressure on Beat the Pundit. I don't think anyone is getting that. So it is four all. Stuart, you were wrong in that Scott had beaten you. So it means it'll go to a tiebreaker. Right, so Stuart, what will happen is I'll read out the question. I will get Scott to write his answer down. And then once he has written his answer down, I'll get you to say yours out loud. Is that okay?
Yep. Good.
Right, let's go for it. Let's stick with the Scotland theme. How many caps have Scotland's top 10 all-time leading appearance holders have between them? So how many caps have Scotland's top 10 all-time leading appearance holders have between them? So I'll wait for Scott Allen to write down his answer. Looks as if he's struggling on this one. Okay, he has written down his answer. Stuart, what's your guess?
About 3,700. Oh.
You've put 3,700. Yes. Scott Allen is celebrating already. Scott, you have gone for?
890.
Where'd you go? All you can do...
880, did you?
All you can do is applaud Scott Allen's answer because it's 886. You were four out. That is a worthy winner on a tiebreaker.
I think we both deserve a applaud for the Kyriakos one.
That was
definitely.
That's unlucky, Stuart. It was a good effort during the actual questions, but you weren't going to get much closer than Scott Allen.
No, I don't think so. Well done, Scott.
Cheers, Stuart.
Stuart, just quickly, you're a Rangers fan. How are you feeling about the Danny Rowe regime after a few games?
Hard to tell. We just need to give it a bit of time, see what happens. But, you know, it's positive at the moment, but we'll just need to wait and see.
Is it, you know, obviously the league games are the ones that have been the positive. Have you seen enough in those games that you think it, you know, things are moving in the right direction?
I think we'll just have to wait to January. I think we'll just have to wait and see what he wants to bring in. But there's shoots of positivity, definitely. And we'll just have to wait and see. I'm not I'm not saying we're out of it, but I'm not saying we're in it either. We're just going to wait and see what comes out of it.
I think that maybe will be the attitude of a lot of Rangers fans who have seen a lot over the last few years, Scott, that, you know, three wins in the league is not really going to get many people too carried away. There's obviously been the European results, which haven't been so good, tough games, and then the semi-final against Celtic, which didn't go to plan. Many fans will probably have that same attitude as Stuart at the moment.
Yeah, but I think Danny Rule coming in has definitely showed a completely different side to him in terms of coaching than what Russell Martin had. They were games where you're looking at Rangers saying, I probably would have struggled through some of the games. I think for me, very adaptable, changed shape at times. And he's tried to use the squad to see who's going to be in his starting 11. Ultimately, his hands are a bit tied. Some of the recruitment isn't good enough for the sort of players that Rangers fans would expect to replace with what left in the summer. So for me, there's some good signs there, but ultimately it's going to come down to what happens in January and then looking on to the future in the summer.
Would you expect that there would be big changes in January? Is it hard to tell?
I think the loans will go back. I think some of the loans will go back and they'll maybe look to replace with better loans, whether they spend money. If you're looking at the money they spent on Chair Meaty, it would be very surprised if they're spending that level of money, but it just depends on what position they're in. I think if he keeps picking up wins in the league, they might think, right, we can maybe just get by with bringing one or two, and he's got a change out. He's got to turn out some of these players that we did bring in. But for me, I just think there has to be a lot more quality within that squad.
Very interesting comments this morning from Graeme Souness, saying, don't allow Kevin Thelwell to spend your money. So Rangers' transfer window will be as intriguing as Celtic's transfer window, because in the summertime, Celtic were inactive to their own detriment. Rangers were active, but also to their own detriment, according to the fans, because they didn't like who came in for the most part.
Well, thank you to Stuart. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Remember, if you get on tonight and you make a point on air, you will go into the draw to win that Pi Sports package for Tuesday's Scotland game. So it could be one to remember, and you could also have the snacks to go with it as well.
When you read out Pi Sports, I thought, what have I missed something? What does that mean? I didn't think you were actually talking about pies.
Oh, yeah.
Really creative, wasn't it, Hugh?
Yeah. Macaroni for Scott Allen and me.
Right, I'll put an order in for next week if things go to plan. Right, let's go back to the phones. Joe is in Clarkston. Joe, is it Scotland that's on your mind
tonight?
We got you, Joe.
Hello, hi there.
Hello, hi. Got you.
Hi there. Hi, panel, how are we?
Good.
Good, thank you.
Thanks. Well, last time I called in, I spoke to Hugh. I got the tattoo on my leg after the Euros qualification.
Oh, brilliant.
So the plan is to get the other one tattooed if it all goes well, but as a Scotland fan, I think we all know it's the hope that kills us.
Oh. Well, one of these times, you know, 28 years later, it's the hope that sustains you, maybe.
Yeah, well, in the last few years it has been. I'm 26, so I've never seen Scotland at a World Cup. Thankfully, I've seen them at the Euros, so it'd be good to see them there. But I think the main point for us to get there, speaking on the goalkeeper selection, it has to be Craig Gordon. That experience of the team, we've seen it with David Marshall when he saved the penalty against Serbia, possibly the best night of my life. My fiancée would argue differently about our engagement, but that was the best night of my life, and that was an experienced goalkeeper in there. Scotland need a safe pair of hands, and Craig Gordon has to be the man.
I bet Joe doesn't have a tattoo of the date of his engagement night on him. Just the Scotland qualification. When it comes to Craig Gordon, you know, we talked about the experience earlier on. Is it the easiest choice? Is he the easiest pick for Steve Clarke out of the three?
That was Marshall that night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What worries me about all the emphasis on should it be Craig Gordon, Scott Bain, my emphasis is on who's going to score for us. I'm hoping that our goalkeeper isn't under that much pressure. I'm hoping that the Greeks will start off thinking, well, okay, we can't get anywhere, but we'll represent our country. I'm not sure that sustains them for 90 minutes. I'd love to see Lauren Shankland play. I think he's at peak Shankland right now. Opportunistic, scoring good goals again.
It's not going to happen in a game like that. No chance.
No?
No. Because Steve Clarke's going to look at it as, in terms of, you look at like Lyndon Dykes, when it goes up there, he fights, he chases everything. You would need Lawrence to to do that side of the game, which he doesn't do as well as what Lyndon Dykes does. Yeah. Is he better at putting the ball in the back of the net? For me, he is, yeah, but I would be very surprised if Shanklin was to start the game.
I mean, Lauren Shanklin wasn't even getting in squads earlier on this season when his form was still in the way that it is right now.
Yeah.
Is he only really in this one because Kieran Bowie's off the boil? Yes, his form is good, but would Steve Clarke have selected him if Kieran Bowie had kept up his early season form?
Kieran Bowie went spectacularly off form. Therefore, the vacancy was there. But I think Shanklin, and we've all read about his new dietary habits, and he's leaner, fitter, scoring goals. I just think, you know, think optimistically, think about beating Greece. Have Shanklin there. However, I bow to Scott Allen's superior knowledge of these matters.
But when you think of Steve Clarke and the way that he selects teams and squads, he's very loyal to players that have done such a good job for him over the years. And the likes of Lyndon Dykes, the likes of Shea Adams have played such a big role for Steve Clarke that you would be surprised. But despite the goal-scoring form of the strikers at the respective clubs, you still would be surprised if Lauren Shanklin was put in there.
There's absolutely no chance that we look at the team tomorrow night in Shanklin's, and purely based on what we've seen previously.
Well, I think sometimes Steve Clarke's stubbornness gets in the way, but I do appreciate
it. Has got us to two major tournaments, and we're now two games away from a World Cup.
And we were rancid in both of those tournaments.
Still got there, which plenty of other managers didn't do for years.
Because he's 6 years he's been in the job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We could have had a manager with a more attractive style, could have got more out of that squad of players, we don't know, but. Listen, we need to trust him with these two games.
Joe Hugh was asking there, where do the goals come from tomorrow night? Where do you think they would be?
I think it's trust. Steve Clarke's a creature of habit. He'll stick with what he knows. I'm a Celtic supporter, but I'm a Celtic. I'm a Scotland fan first. I think what Hugh makes actually a good point, which is not normal, is the fact is that. Lauren Shanklin could do his job, but as they call them now, I class him as a finisher. I think he could come on and do a job, but I think we need to go for the tried and trusted. And that core squad that we've got right now is doing well. It's we've had success, so we would keep that staple together and hopefully we do something well. My prediction for tomorrow night's 3-0 Scotland.
Ooh. I like the optimism. I like it. But in terms of the strikers, the primary job of the strikers in a Steve Clarke system hasn't really been to score the goals over the last few years, has it? Yeah. They've been almost a foil for guys like John McGinn and for Scott McTominay to hit the heights that they've hit.
Hold the ball up.
We're very fortunate in that regard. You know, McTominay, if he can find Serie A form. McGinn, the Villa captain, new contract till 28. So we're fortunate. We've got good talent. That's why I have to retain the belief that a draw is the worst we'll get tomorrow.
the fear on Scott Allen's face any time you really say something positive.
I really don't know. I think
by the law of averages, I've got to get one right something.
I'm going on off the fact that we went to Denmark and as a collective defended really well. I think we are capable of going there and defending really well, and if we do get a chance, then hopefully someone takes it. If not, then defend Bill for the 90 minutes, and it might be just need to be a clean sheet that gets us a point.
Well, thank you to Joe. Hopefully he is phoning in again on Wednesday with a fresh tattoo. That is my hope. Thank you very much, Joe. More of your calls to come. 01419511025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A busy night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still time to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Celtic have got permission from Columbus Crew to speak to Wilfred Nancy about being their new manager. So maybe you want to talk about that. Maybe you want to talk about the huge Scotland game against Greece tomorrow. Steve Clarke has spoken in the last few minutes, so we'll see if we can hear from him shortly before the end of the show. Willie Collum as well doing his VAR show explaining some of the decisions made by referees over the past couple of weeks. The headline one, is of course Nick Walsh's decision to book Austin Trustee. Many people thought it should have been a red card. Willie Collum backing that decision. Maybe you want to talk about that. 0141 951 1025. Let's get a teaser underway for you two. And Ryan Preston is the one that sent this in. Not too kind, because you get 13 answers in this one, but it's not too hard at all. Can you name the 13 players who have scored exactly one goal for Scotland under Steve Clarke? Can you name the 13 players who have scored exactly one goal for Scotland under Steve Clarke? Stephen O'Donnell? No.
Oh, Shankland?
Lauren Shankland.
Kevin Nisbet?
No, Kevin Nisbet, yes. It's going to take me a while to filter through all these answers in front of me. Any more? You have one of 13. Not
Stuart Armstrong?
Stuart Armstrong? No.
Tierney?
Kieran Tierney? Yes, Kieran Tierney is there. So you have Kieran Tierney, Kevin Nisbet. Remember, you can email yours in.
Porteous.
fulltime@clyde1.com. Ryan Porteous is a correct answer as well. You have three of the 13. Do you want some thinking time?
Andy Robertson?
Andy Robertson is incorrect.
Oh. Jack Henry?
Jack Henry is also incorrect. We will come back to that. You have three of the 13. 01419511025. I did mention that Willie Collum has been speaking on his VAR show that he does with Gordon Duncan, explaining some of the decisions that have happened over the past couple of weeks and whether he agrees or disagrees with the on-field decision and then the subsequent VAR check. The one that dominated these phone lines for a few days was Austin Trusty's challenge on Jack Butland. Willie Collum has come out today and said that he, sort of under the criteria that they're working in, says that the yellow card was the correct decision, Hugh.
Yeah, well, that runs contrary, I would suggest, to what most people think. And I know that you'll have extremes of opinion. If you're a Celtic fan, you'll say you made too much of it. If you're a Rangers fan, you'll say it was a terrible incident. I have only one summarised view to take of it. What's his foot doing on his head at all? And that for me made it a red card.
So Willie Collum's explanation, there are sort of two ways that they could have gone down the decision making for it. It could have been seen as serious foul play, and that would have been if they would have deemed Austin Trusty to be challenging for the ball, which they didn't think was the case. They thought that Jack Butland had the ball under control, so it doesn't come under serious foul play. It comes under violent conduct. So then at that point, what the referee and the VAR need to consider is excessive force, brutality. Is the contact more than negligible? So you hear the VAR review. Stephen McLean is in there with the AVAR, and he says it's side of foot, no studs, and the level of force isn't enough for them. That's essentially their explanation, that the force is negligible.
I think you hit the nail on the head at the top of the show when you were speaking about players and fans of respective clubs and what their opinions were on it. For me, I thought it was a red card, simple as that. The referees obviously have different views on it, and it's their job to obviously carry out the rules. If that was the case, then we would see these sort of things in handballs being very consistent week in, week out, but unfortunately it seems to just split opinion.
Martin Neil thought it was a red card. Yeah, and he was the Celtic manager that day. The key word here is subjective.
Yeah,
Willie Collum does say that as well. He says it, you know, is subjective. He understands people may think it is a red card. He says they respect that decision, but essentially the criteria they're working under, they feel it's a yellow. Another thing he did say was that 15 years ago, the laws that they were working under, the guidance that they would have been working under 15 years ago, because it's a kick to the head, essentially, it would have been a red card. There would have been no arguments. And but he says that the way the rules are now, the fact that it was viewed as violent conduct, there then is another layer on top of that, because Austin Trusty comes out and does an interview and says, oh, by the way, no, I was going for the ball, which means it then would come under serious foul play rather than violent conduct. But the referees can only make the decision based on what they're seeing at the time, and they felt that that wasn't the case
again,
at the time.
Again, the evidence of your own eyes tells you the ball is secreted from view. It's underneath Jack Butland's stomach, so he couldn't have been going for the ball. And what made him think the ball was anywhere near Jack Butland's head? But subjective is the word. Subjective is Willie's middle name now. Willie Subjective Column will say, that's my opinion. Scott Allen and I will say, well, don't agree with your opinion, it should be a red card.
But he is also offering up the criteria as to why they feel it was. He's not just saying, it's my opinion and that's it. He is going through the steps
for me.
Do we still know what the criteria is about handballs? does that still get carried out week by week to the letter of the law?
Exactly. That's then another point, because how people interpret the criteria is then a completely different argument, because we've seen it been interpreted in a lot of different ways, especially when it comes to handball.
Listen, we are in the city of Glasgow. It was a game involving Celtic and Rangers. A controversial incident occurred and not everyone agreed with the verdict dished out. If we go from now until the end of time, people will believe it was a red card and others will say, no, it wasn't. So we have this argument now until the end of time.
Jack is a Rangers fan in Irvine. Jack, what are you making of it all?
How you doing, panel? He's all right, Scott?
Good, thank you. Jack.
Good. I'm looking to talk about the night. I'm totally up for Super Scoreboard, but I totally don't get how we're still talking about the Aaron Christie Jack Butland situation. You know, it was coming on 2 weeks on Sunday.
Yeah, I do get the fact that it was 2 weeks ago. The only reason it comes up today, Jack, is because, you know, Willie Collum has spoken about it on the VAR review. There's then, you know, a fresh perspective on it. But I completely get your point of view that, you know, it was an incident that was 2 weeks ago.
I just feel as though, unfortunately, we get bet, you know. We've got to move on for it. Again, it's no easy to take, but we've got to try and move on and focus on Livingston and the 22nd.
Yeah, I really do empathise with you, Jack, but as Andrew said, you know, Willie Collum has added another layer to the controversy today, and it being an Old Firm game, it will go on forever and ever. But you're right, that there comes a point where you say, look, people are entrenched in their views, some coloured yellow, some coloured red, and it will go on ad infinitum.
It's almost the price you pay for that transparency, because people had been calling out for transparency from the Scottish FA for a long, long time. And Willie Collum is offering that, not to say that everyone is going to agree with everything he says, but then it happens 2 weeks after the incident and all of a sudden people then start debating it again.
You know, we can hardly complain, because this programme for decades has dealt in controversy and is the only forum for supporters to air their views on controversy. But layer upon layer, you know, you had the referee and the VAR on the day. You had pundits, panellists on the day. The KMI panel, which has no powers and is therefore a total irrelevance, they had their say. And by a verdict of 2-1, they said it should have been a red card. So on and on we go. You know, Jack has introduced that kind of pragmatic note. Let's move on. Rangers against Livingston. Celtic away to St Mirren. The possibility of a new manager being in Paisley a week tomorrow. But there is an insatiable appetite for these things. And who am I to stand in anybody's way? But for me, it's still a red card.
Jack, you're obviously wanting to look ahead to that Rangers game. Are you feeling a lot more confident going into these types of games with Danny Rule in charge, just given what's happened in the last three league matches?
Absolutely. I know he's got to get behind the man, and it's not his team. Hopefully in January he can, I can be telling well on that there, it's not going to be easy, but hopefully he can get behind them and he can bring in new players and see how we get on. I know they've spent a lot of money, but I just don't think... I thought Majoski, when he came in, he knows the Scottish game and that, but I don't think the boys been too good for he came in.
I think that's the one one of the players you can cut some slack, because when Majoski came in, everyone thought, great. Rangers fans in great number thought that Majoski was a really good signing. The one that they remember is in the red jersey at Aberdeen, and the one in the blue jersey is a pale imitation.
Do you think is the striking situation, is that one of the things that will be sort of top priority for Danny Rule at the moment, is to try and work out how to get the best out of the three strikers that are there? Because he is sort of mixing and matching, he's changing things up, he's trying to find a solution, but it's not really happening so far for any of the three.
Well, I think Danilo's probably performed the best out of the three. The goal against Kilmarnock, fantastic goal against Hibs, and obviously Rangers go down to 10 men against Celtic, and he obviously is the one that's taken off. So I think he's probably been a bright spark in terms of up front, but no getting away from it. I think come January, if guys aren't aren't putting goals putting goals in the back of the net. I think the one or two could come in. I think you might see four or five players leave Rangers come January.
How tough will that be, though? You say bring in one or two strikers. Surely something's got to give then, because if you're paying £8 to £10 million for Youssef Tchermiti, you've paid somewhere up to £4.2 million for Bojan Miovski. There's £6 million of Danilo already there. Can you then add two strikers without bringing in any money for those three guys that are there already?
It's a good question. I just think that's the area of the park where Rangers are really not at the level where I think where the fans would expect. You sell Dessers, so obviously they expected Miovski. Between Miovski and Tchermiti to make up the goals, they haven't. Danilo, the guy who's been there for a number of years now, he's been the guy that's scored the goals recently. So for me, if they weren't to start scoring goals up until January, I think they would. You've got to think as a player as well. See, if you're at a club like Rangers and you're at Tchermiti and you're not, the chances start to dwindle. The fans are on your back. At that age, Portuguese under 21 international, you would imagine he would want to go out somewhere and try and find a bit of form.
Very odd if you sign them for that kind of money, though, Scott. And the first window you put them out on loan. But I do agree with Andrew's
point. The narrative's
point.
Really, really negative with them just now.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a lot to change it.
So you take Tchermiti, Miovski, Danilo, and you're...
And that's just fees I was talking about, never mind wages on top of that.
You're nudging at £20 million. Now, one aspect of the 49ers Enterprises takeover, which doesn't add up, is that they must be losing money every week because of this astronomical wage bill. Yeah. So come January, surely it stands to reason that people have to get off that wage bill.
Yeah.
49 Enterprises can't run a business that loses money every week.
Jack, who do you feel out of those strikers can be the one to get firing, if any?
I think I've seen Malcolm quicker than Tchermiti. And that's saying something.
Do you think there's something there, Scott, with Tchermiti? I mean, I know it is.
Yeah, I do. But I sometimes just think you can be in the wrong movie. And to me, it looks like he's in the wrong movie. I think he does have attributes when you look at him from afar that you think it'd take a bit of work, a bit of time to get him playing to his strengths. But I just don't think at this moment in time, Rangers have the time to put that into Tchermiti. They need guys to be scoring and playing well now.
Well, thank you to Jack, 01419511025. Let's do some work on this teaser. I will bring you news on a goal from the SWPL big game between Rangers and Celtic at Ibrox tonight, 2 minutes in, and it's a goal for Jenny Smith. Celtic are 1-0 up, so a good start for Elena Sadiku's side in that match. We'll bring you any updates before the end of the show. Right, this teaser, 13 answers you have to get for this one. 13 players who have scored exactly one goal for Scotland under Steve Clarke. You've got Ryan Porteous, Kieran Tierney and Kevin Nisbet so far.
Grant Hanley
is correct.
Lewis Ferguson
also correct. And then silence.
Ryan Fraser,
no.
Ryan Gold didn't score.
You're just going to go through all the Ryans?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think everybody.
Right, I'll give you some time on that because we need to do this. It is your chance to win the cash with McNair's by simply guessing the weekend's results on our pundit predictor. Last Friday, Kevin only managed to get one result, meaning he lost out on £1,200. That means tonight we add another £100 into the pot, meaning you could win £1,300. Simply guess the results in these three games, and all you need to do is not exact score, it's just home win, draw, or away win. And this weekend's fixtures are as follows. Of course, Greece against Scotland tomorrow, and a couple of championship games for you. Ayr against Arbroath, Ross County against Greenock Morton. We'll also get Hugh Keevans to give his verdict as well. So call now for your chance to win £1,300 with McNair's. 01419511025. You have until the end of the ad break to call, and we'll pick one of you at random. It's over 18s only, and we'll speak to you soon.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies, delivered on time for over 40 years.
Yes, we have teamed up with McNair's for our Pundit Predictor. We want you to predict the results in three of the weekend's games. And if you do it right, you will win £1,300. Those games are Greece against Scotland, the big one tomorrow night, and then a couple of championship games for you. Ayr United against Arbroath and Ross County against Morton. On the line to play is Robert. Robert, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you, Andrew?
I am all good. How is your prediction game normally?
I'm not too bad. I've been hitting the sort of crossbar the last couple of weeks, but I'm straight with my son now.
There we go. Hopefully this weekend is the weekend for you. We'll get some predictions from Hugh as well. We'll go through yours and then potentially by this time, well, maybe not this time tomorrow night because the Greece-Scotland game is a later one, but by tomorrow night you could be a bit richer. So let's go through them. Greece against Scotland. Robert, this is the big one. What is the score going to be, or what is it going to be in terms of home win, draw or away win?
Right, I'm sorry guys, but we didn't deserve to win that last game, so I'm going for a Greece win.
Greece win to break all our hearts. Hugh, I think, yeah, I know what you're going to say here.
I'm going to say draw.
You're going to say a draw. Robert, Ayr United against Arbroath.
That's a home win also, Andrew.
Home win. Arbroath are in good form. Yeah. Hugh?
No, Ayr are struggling. Arbroath to win away.
Okay, and the final one, Ross County against Greenock Morton. Robert?
That's also a home win.
I would go home win as well. Ross County have been awful. They're second bottom of the league, but I'm going with them tomorrow.
Right, three home wins for Robert. Hugh is mixed up a
draw
little bit.
Draw away home.
And we will find out tomorrow after the Greece-Scotland game whether Robert has won £1,300. If he doesn't do the job, then it will, of course, roll over to next week, and that'll be another £100 in the pot, thanks to McNair's. So thanks to McNair's, and thanks to Robert for that. Right, do we want to hear a bit from Steve Clarke? Because he's been speaking over in Greece at his pre-match press conference. And first of all, he's been speaking about the squad and the goalkeeping situation.
Need more from every player. Every player. Every player in the squad possibly got a part to play over the next couple of games. So we need them all at it. We need them all 100%. And The more players that can bring their A game to the pitch, obviously the better chance we've got. Because you know me, I never talk about the team. The players won't know officially the team because I never quite tied it up until the day of the game. But they'll have a fair idea.
Yeah, Steve Clarke was never going to sit in his pre-match press conference tonight and tell us who is playing in goal tomorrow. But he'll know at this point.
Do you know what, when I listen to him, Scott, I often wonder, what's the team talk like? You know, 10 minutes before you go out, draw or a win, and it's Scotland, Denmark at Hampden, full house, and the World Cup finals can be yours. I wonder what kind of inspirational talk he gives. Is he as dull in the dressing room as he is in the press conference?
He's put in some position, isn't he? My God.
Hospital pass.
Yeah. Listen, I think when it gets to that level and what's at stake, it ultimately comes down to the players, Hugh.
Yeah.
Do you know what's at stake? No player goes out to play poorly. But I think at that level of game, a Scottish player, chance of getting to the World Cup, talking has to be done on the pitch.
But also, whatever Steve Clarke has done over the last 6 years, generally, to the most part, has worked because it's got Scotland to two major tournaments. So whatever he said leading into big games against Serbia, where Scotland won that penalty shootout, that huge game away to Norway.
The other thing that encourages me tomorrow, Andrew, is for John McGinn, for Andy Robertson, for Grant Hanley, for players like that, this is your last chance.
Gordon.
There won't be a World Cup for these guys if they don't make it this time. And that's got to be burning inside them. And that's what's got to go on to the park with them tomorrow.
That is the ultimate motivation, isn't it, for these guys?
For all of them. For all of them. I think, as we've spoke about, it's been since France 98. Pulling on the Scotland jersey, you want to do that at the World Cup. I think, as I say, that game speaks for itself. The players' preparation is everything, but then you have to carry that out on the pitch. Yes, they've got experience of getting to tournaments and winning big games previously, so that should stand you in good stead. Add into the fact that you beat Greece 3-1 and probably it was as poor as you've played in a long, long time. So it is there for Scotland tomorrow night. Can't wait to see how it pans out.
Lyndon Dykes was saying earlier on in the week that he's desperate to help Scotland get to the World Cup, not only so that he could potentially play at the World Cup, but because he thinks guys like Andy Robertson and John McGinn and the careers that they've had, he feels they deserve to play at that stage. And he knows that Scotland are the ones that have it in their own hands. They need to do the job over the next two games, but he feels these guys deserve to have that stage.
You deserve to get there if you win. Mm-hmm. As simple as that.
Every cliche in the book will be used between now and kickoff tomorrow, and if the result is the correct one, heaven alone knows what it'll be like between Saturday and Tuesday. But you deserve what you deserve and what you get. That's down to you. You won't get what you deserve if you don't perform. So I'm very much afraid, and Scott knows this to be true. In football, you get out of life what you put into it. So it's there for them. They have to pick it up tomorrow.
Let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark talking about it being a high-stakes game.
I think they knew the stakes were so high last time, which is maybe why they probably panicked a little bit during the Belarus game when they lost sight of what they were actually trying to do, which was win the game comfortably. Like I said before, I spoke right at the very start, almost my first couple of squads that I picked, about getting experience and taking that experience onto the pitch at this level. And I think you see, even with a couple of performances at home, that we didn't play as well as we can play.
I mean, it doesn't fill you with massive confidence, Steve Clark saying that he felt the players panicked against Belarus because they knew they needed to score goals. And I mean, what can Steve Clark and his staff do to make sure that is not the case tomorrow night? And if they get through tomorrow night, that is not the case against Denmark.
I don't object to the word panic, because panic is a human emotion, and you go through all of the human emotions from game to game, tournament to tournament, domestic football to European football to international football. So I understand all that. As I say, my overriding emotion tomorrow for John McGinn, and Clydebank boy, known all the McGinns for years, I really, really want it for him. I hope that he wants it for him as much as I want it for him. And we'll go out with Andy Robertson and Lewis Ferguson and Grant Hanley and Craig Gordon, whoever. It's within touching distance. Only you can make it happen.
But then that is the mental side, Scott, of handling wanting it so much, because what Steve Clark's saying there, the players obviously wanted it so much that they knew what was at stake against Belarus and then panicked a bit, didn't put in their best performance. It's about how they channel that motivation and desire and want.
But they still came through it, mm-hmm. and there was challenges amongst the Greece game and the Belarus game. Yes, they didn't play well. That's the challenge within itself. Can you still get over the line? They did. You're on to the next one, so you're better for it after the previous experiences. I'm with you. Listen, these games should just take care of themselves. That there's just so much at stake. You've got that in the bank now. Didn't perform well against Greece, didn't perform well against Belarus. Got the wins. Now it's all set up for you there to go and be heroes.
Steve Clark did say in his squad announcement press conference that essentially sitting back against Greece is not the way to get the result. He said that's not the way he's going to do things. He doesn't feel that is the right way. Knowing that a draw is enough to take the game, to take the qualification to Tuesday, he doesn't feel that just sitting back and trying to get a result is the way to do things. How does he handle tomorrow's game? Is it just you continue with the approach that you've gone with and hope that that carries you through?
The approaches in terms of game to game have been very different. Mm. Style of performance, individuals within the performance. So we're really don't quite know what we're going to see tomorrow night. I look at the Denmark game, defended really well throughout the game as a collective. You're going to have to do that tomorrow night, but at the same time, still carry a threat. And when you do get one or two chances, you have to take them.
I just hope that that's not the game plan. Let's just stonewall this, because inevitably fate picks you off and enables everyone to say you deserve all you get.
It's not a nice position, that, as a player, to be just sitting there on the ropes waiting.
No. And sometimes Steve Clark has been cautious when the country doesn't want him to be cautious, and it has cost Scotland in the finals of the European Championship, for example. But this is the World Cup. This is something. We had a caller on earlier, 26-year-old, it might have been Joe, forgive me, I forget which one. And to hear him say, I've never seen Scotland at a World Cup, 26 years old. And I want it for him, and I want it for everyone in that position. I've seen them in several World Cups. I want people to know what that's like.
Right, I should have done this earlier. Can you name the 13 players who have scored exactly one goal for Scotland under Steve Clarke? You have Lewis Ferguson, Ryan Porteous, Kieran Tierney, Kevin Nisbet and Grant Hanley. Plenty more to go.
Kenny McLean, Norway.
Kenny McLean, correct.
Gary Mackay-Steven?
No.
Andrew Considine?
Nope.
McKenna?
Yes, Scott McKenna. Mm. Think of a couple of right backs.
And a few. Tony Ralston?
Yes. One at Everton, former Rangers.
Nathan Patterson. Hickey.
Aaron Hickey, no. Someone that is on the current coaching staff at Scotland.
Stephen Naismith.
Stephen Naismith, correct. A defender who is at Hearts right now.
Halkett.
No. Was it Kilmarnock last season?
Stuart Finlay,
correct. A striker who got a Bundesliga hat-trick earlier on this season.
Oliver Burke.
One more to go. He is a striker that is in the current Scotland squad. Plays for Ipswich.
Hurst.
George Hurst is the correct answer. Huge game for Scotland tomorrow night, but it's a GBX to bring you into the weekend. Up next.